Ephesians 5:8, where earlier in Ephesians 2:8-9, and of course we know verse 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now the good works, so Ephesians is written to the church members at Ephesus, and as we do our good works, God, we have a position in Christ, and God wants us to have a practice that mirrors the position we have in Christ. Let me illustrate that. So Dr. Strauss, he was teaching 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John a couple weeks ago, and he, I think it was his wife that years previous had been in the, she was a nurse. And so years and years and years ago, she was a nurse, and it kind of struck her as odd that the nurses, during their break, would sneak out the side of the hospital and go have a smoke break. So how odd to see a bunch of people that are healthcare professionals say, we're going to take our break and go over there and smoke. It's just like, wait a second. Your practice doesn't seem to match your position. And that throws me off. It makes me doubt your position. Your practice causes me to doubt your position. Years ago, down the road, the hospital down the road was they were going to review their abortion policies, and they said, "Hey, we're going to open it up to the public to come in, we're reviewing it. The public, you can come in and say a few words. We want to hear what you all have to say." I remember going down there, and I wish I was more eloquent. But the one thought I had was, "You're a hospital. Your job is supposed to be preserving life, not taking it. Which is it?" So because you are this institution, this is what you should be doing, a practice that matches your position. So again, Paul says this to the church at Ephesus. And again, we just saw the idea created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He says in Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light." So you have a position. God's given you, were darkness, but now are ye light. And then he says, "Walk as children of light." So especially the workers, if you're going to stand up and have some sort of a post, a position you fill as a teacher, somebody that sings a song, somebody that sings in the choir, somebody that's in the orchestra, somebody that's going to be an official worker on a bus. If you're going to stand up as a representative of the Lord in some way at this church, God wants your practice to mirror your position. If you say, "I belong to Jesus, and I want you to belong to him too," well, what does it mean to belong to Jesus? We should be able to see that. So we have worker requirements. There is a battle. My wife will tell me that, man, here's another one. Somebody that grew up in a strict Baptist church, and here's a young person that finally I got away from that place. They're so pharisaical there. You can't even serve God unless you keep a bunch of rules. And that's out there. And so I thought it'd be a good idea to just to really quickly say, why do we have worker requirements? So because our young people are like, why do we? Well, that you can't even serve God at that place, a bunch of Pharisees. Again, because God wants our position and our practice to mirror one another. So they might say, I grew up a strict Baptist and finally got away to a more loving church where I can serve God without all the pharisaicalism. God wants me to serve him, and they just have all sorts of roadblocks where I grew up. Praise the Lord for some place where I can just obey God. Like, wait a minute. If you're that interested in obeying God, obey God and live that clean life. I want to live my dirty life. I want to live like the world has my sincerest devotion, and then stand up in Sunday school and tell them how important God is. It doesn't go together. It's like the person that sees the nurses, and you're like, what are they doing? They're healthcare professionals, smoking away. So the spirit of Cain is alive and well in the world around us. I want to worship however I choose to worship. I was thinking about Leviticus chapter 10. Don't we all? You're right. You find yourself constantly thinking about Leviticus 10. Well, that's the passage where Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire. They said, I should be able to serve God however I choose. And surprise, God believes in worker requirements. They very quickly discovered that if you're going to serve God, God says you're going to do it a certain way. And they offered that strange fire and they were consumed. So the Bible teaches worker requirements for those who preach, teach, serve, sing. Even that in the same book, in Ephesians, when it says singing, there in Ephesians 5, we're right there, huh? Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. And so even singing, he's writing to church members. You should be singing. You should be singing. But before he says that, what does he say? Before he talks about singing, be filled with the Spirit. And that means under the control of the Spirit. The Spirit is controlling you. And so again, he's speaking to church members. So if you're up here, we should say, oh, that was such a blessing. Those things that they sang about, they're not just singing words. They're living out those words that they are singing. What a blessing. And of course, we all sing aspirationally too, don't we? I surrender all. It's like, Lord, I need to surrender all. You know, I need to constantly ask what that means and Lord, make sure that I'm surrendered in those areas. What about a pastor, right? Does God have workers, requirements for a pastor? Just declare, you know, important things from God's word. God has qualifications for a pastor, doesn't he? The pattern is there. If a pastor is going to stand up in front of a church, if I'm going to be your pastor, there are qualifications I am held to. Why? Can't you just stand up? No, you can't just. God has qualifications. If you're going to be a representative of me in a church setting, I want you to hold yourself to certain requirements. Now, we have we also have the idea of graduated requirements. Because let's say there's a high schooler. Boy, he feels called to preach and we're excited. He's obedient to his mom and dad and he has a good testimony. And we say, hey, we're going to have this special New Year's whatever service. Why don't you preach for us? Well, he doesn't meet all the requirements, does he? He's a novice to some degree, but he's not going to be the pastor. He is going to preach. So we have kind of graduated requirements. We want him to fulfill some of them. We have graduated so he can get up and maybe just say, hey, the Lord laid this on my heart. Oh, that was such a blessing. He's not the pastor. But there's an area where they're able to step into certain roles on their way to those areas of becoming less of a novice and that type of thing. Graduated requirements, a place where new believers can start to step into something and start to serve. And then even direction becomes a big part of that. What direction are they going? If they've taken steps in the right direction and we're saying, hey, well, you can serve here, you can serve here. But all of a sudden they're going the other direction. It's like, whoa, 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 wait a second. You're going the wrong direction now. Direction is taken into account. So women will say, I have good things to say. Why can't I be a pastor? Right? And women do have good things to say. I am married to one, and she has wonderful things to say. She'll say, hey, can we talk? I like talking with you. And she has good things to say, but she's not going to be the pastor. God has requirements, and so, well, I have good things to say. That's all that matters. It's not all that matters. God has requirements for a different post that you'll occupy at a church. So why have worker requirements? One, primarily, God wants us to. And secondly, in that, we should practice what we preach, shouldn't we? That idea. Sadly, we do live in a world where people want to go to churches where the pastor doesn't hold himself to the truths. Then the people don't feel pressured to do it themselves. But praise God for this church, where you want your pastor holding himself to the truths, because you want that pressure on you as well. I want to see him holding himself to the truths, because I want to feel a holy pressure from God. I want him to be a mouthpiece of God himself, because I want to feel a holy pressure to hold myself to the truths. And I praise God for that desire here. But continually ask God to help cultivate that desire. What about deacons? Deacons, diakonos, the idea of serving, right? And you say, well, sure, pastors, if you're going to pastor, you should have requirements. But if I'm just serving, believe it or not, there's the pattern there too. God wants servants that are going to serve in that church setting to hold to requirements. The deacon that is serving in a church, a gift to the church, a help to the pastor. And God has qualifications for those servants as well. What? I can't even serve without having to hold to a set of... Right. It matters to God. God wants us. And so it's important. Those who serve must meet some qualifications. And again, we have some graduates as somebody is saved and coming along. And I want to, here's some things you want to hold to, because worker requirements matter to God. So again, why in the area of service, why have requirements? Because God wants us to, and he wants us to have a life that backs up what we're saying. I was even thinking about this verse in teachers. So, if you're going to teach, what do they say? Your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And so even teachers, God doesn't want somebody just with the ability to teach, but he wants a life that backs up the lessons that are being taught, right? Listen to this verse and see if you can, I'll stress some words. 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So, who shall be able to teach? I'm gonna find someone that will be able to teach. But is that the only thing that was in there? Find someone that's able to teach? Or was there something else in there? The same commit thou to faithful men. I was reading Dr. Sorensen on this. Paul had taught Timothy carefully and diligently in the past. Now, as he was about to pass the scene, he instructed Timothy likewise, "Teach faithful men who should be able to teach others also." The scriptural method of leadership training is to teach those who in turn have the ability and character to teach others also. So it just makes sense to have a life that backs up what you are saying. God wants us to have these things. So it really is quite simple, isn't it? The world can phrase things in such a way, they're like, yeah, what in the world? Why do we make it so hard on people to serve? It really isn't that hard. Live a life that's pleasing to the Lord and then jump into ministry. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So there they were, those nurses who were out smoking, the healthcare professionals, right? Out there, it's like, why? What do you care what they do on their break? What do you care what they do? I'm sorry, I just do. It's a practice that does not mirror the position they hold. And the same way, you know, if a kid sees his teacher doing something wrong during the week or on social media, I can be a heathen on here. Who cares what I do on here? It's in the classroom. It wasn't the hospital that those nurses were out. That bothers me. It shouldn't. It's not allowed to, but it does. But it does. And so it just makes sense that we would want teachers and workers and helpers and leaders. whose lives back up the things that they're teaching. All right, let's pray, and then we'll go over our prayer list, and then we'll break up into our prayer groups.